Pray. God is now beginning to talk about the promised land. And as you know, that won't happen until the book of Numbers, because first they have to receive all of the law, which takes place pretty much the rest of Exodus and into Leviticus. And in the Numbers, they begin to move and go to the border of the promised land. And as we have learned when we started the book of Exodus, many types in Exodus, as we've seen, Pharaoh, of course, a type of the devil, Moses, a type of Jesus Christ, Israel, a type of the Christian, it's even referred to as the church in the wilderness, the Red Sea, a type of baptism after, of course, Passover, a type of salvation. But the promised land is where Christians don't get it quite right sometimes, so they often look at the promised land as a picture of heaven. But if you study it out, it doesn't fit. Because we don't fight battles to get heaven, do we? Heaven's a gift through our salvation. But to get the promised land, Israel had to go in and literally fight for every city that they took. And so if you study it out, you'll find the promised land actually represents the victorious Christian life, what God wants us all to have. And he begins to talk about it here tonight and teach us some great lessons here in verse chapter 23. Starting in verse 20, God says, "Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water. And I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even of the Sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." So I'm going to take my title there from verse 30, "By little and little." Let's pray. Lord, use your word now to teach us. Thank you for it. And Lord, as we reflect back on Israel and God now promising them the land that they've been waiting for, may we learn tonight what you have prepared for us. And Lord, may we be willing, as Israel was not, to do what needs to be done that we might have this land. I pray, Lord, that mighty works will be done in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the Word. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. I just want to point out a couple of interesting points tonight about the victorious Christian life, which this pictures and take some great lessons from it. So in verse 20, the first thing we see is that the victorious Christian life has already been purchased for you and for me. It is already available to every Christian. It's not guaranteed, but it's available. And by the way, this angel, is most likely Jesus. Did you notice it's capitalized? There's a reason for that. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 9, we find that Jesus was there. Jesus was leading Israel. Jesus was referred to as the rock that followed them. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. But if you look back, it was the angel of the Lord that they tempted, wasn't it? That God said he would send before them. And yet here it says that they tempted Christ. So Jesus was most likely the angel. And if you go to John 10:10, I want to show you that Jesus promised us an abundant Christian life. Just like he promised Israel, if you will let me lead and if you will obey my word, I will give you this land. Now you have to fight for it, but I'm going to fight with you. And you and I have to fight for the victorious Christian life, don't we? We have to fight the flesh, we have to fight the devil, we have to fight the world. But if God's with us, he fights the battles right alongside us, doesn't he? But here Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. If you're born again, you've been given eternal life. Hallelujah. But the abundant Christian life is something you have to fight for. It isn't guaranteed. It requires some decisions on our part if we want to have the full benefits of the promised land, of the victorious Christian life. And let's see what those things are. The first thing we see is in verse 22, if, this is the big word in this verse, if thou shalt indeed obey his voice. The first thing we see about the victorious Christian life is it's absolutely impossible without obedience. Now, this is true for the duration of our Christian lives, isn't it? Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience. Obedience always leads to blessings in God's program. It did for Israel and it does for Christians. Just like disobedience leads to chastisement, as we saw the example in David this morning. But you're never going to have the life that God wants you to have, the victorious Christian life, the promised land type of Christian life, if you're not willing to live a life of obedience. Because he said, if you will obey, that's a big if, then what will I do? I'll be an enemy unto your enemies. I'll be an adversary unto your adversaries. Later on, he said, I'll bless your food. I'll bless your livestock. I'll even bless your health. I'll keep the diseases out. He says, if you will obey, I will do all these things for you. Now, did Israel do that? No, sadly. And therefore, they didn't get to enjoy all these blessings, did they? When they went into the promised land. Matter of fact, as we're going to see when we get into Numbers and so forth, we're going to see Israel, even in Joshua, they didn't drive out all the inhabitants like they were commanded to. They got partway through, and then they started making leagues and friendships with different nations, which eventually became snares. Just like he said they would at the end of the chapter, they will become snares. It's exactly what happened. And so the first beautiful truth we see is that if we desire to have the victorious Christian life that God wants us to have, it starts with obedience. Always starts with obedience. A willingness to obey God's word. And that's all through Old Testament and New Testament. We have to have obedience. And the good news is that if we will follow God's plan, he fights for us. Did you notice verse 23? Mine angel shall go before thee. So he didn't say that I'm going to go into the promised land and kill them in advance, because that's not what he did, is it? No. But I'm going to fight the battles right alongside you. They had to fight for each city, each region. And God said, I'll fight with you. And I'll give you the land. But I'm not going to go in advance and kill them all. You're going to kill them. And if we will obey God's word and let him be our guide, then when the battles come, and they will come, and we're told to fight the good fight of faith, God will be right there fighting them with us, that we can have this life that he wants us to have. First criteria, obedience. What's the second one? Verse 24. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. The victorious Christian life is also impossible without separation. All through the, especially New Testament, we are commanded to be separate from the world. Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world. Amen. 2 Corinthians 6:17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We could go on and on and on where God commands us to be separate from this world. 1 John chapter 2, love not this world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So the victorious Christian life is impossible without obedience, but it's also impossible without separation. And what led to Israel's downfall? Disobedience and not separating from the Gentile nations. They didn't obey God's word. He had a lot of commandments for them to follow. They didn't obey them. And then when they went in, instead of wiping them out, they started making friendships with them, which became, as we read in verse 33, a snare. And so it's true for us too. If we want to live the life God wants us to have, the abundant life that Jesus promised us in John 10:10, not only do we need to have a life of obedience, but we need to have a life of separation. God told Israel right from the start, I want you to be a testimony, didn't he? Of what happens when a nation makes me their God. I want you to be a testimony of every nation around you. Israel did just the opposite. They became a testimony of what happens when God's people disobey. And then God had to continually punish them for their disobedience and the fact that they wouldn't separate. So, obedience, separation. Lastly, verse 25, service. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. God wants service from his children. He wants us to serve him. Look at Colossians 3:24 just as an example. But when we get saved, we are saved to serve. Amen? We've studied this before. The Bible says that we should walk worthy of the profession under which we are called. What are we called to be? We've talked about the three S's. When we get saved, we are a soldier, we are a steward, and we are a servant. And we are to be worthy of those three titles as God's children. But we are to serve the Lord, and this is Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We're here to serve God. And then look at James 1:25. James chapter 1, verse 25. And so if we want to have the life God has already promised us, you see, that's the thing about the promised land. It was already theirs. They had to go in and fight for it, but it was already theirs. God had already allocated it to them way before, starting with Abraham, and he just kept repeating the promise, you're going to get this land, you're going to get this land. But they had to go in and they had to fight for each city, each region. God wants us to fight for the life he wants us to have. But we're not going to win those battles if we're not going to be obedient, if we're not going to be separate from the world, and if we're not willing to serve the Lord. Notice James 1:25, whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, talking about the Bible, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the, what? Work. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. See that word, work? What God is saying is that as we study his word and look in there, he likens it to a mirror in this. If you look at the whole passage, he says, if we look in there and we understand what we are reading and we understand how it applies to our life, what are we going to do? We're going to do the work. We're going to serve the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. So if we're going to have this abundant life that God wants us to have, we've got to be willing to obey, be separate, and work. But the heart of my message tonight is on down in verse 30, but let's get there. Verse 27, and I will send my fear before thee. I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee, and I will send hornets before thee. Verse 29, I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. But by little and little I will drive them out before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. If we're willing to do those three things, God says, I'll give you the victorious Christian life. But does he hand us to us all of it the first day we get saved? Or after we've been saved a year? No. It's a gradual thing, isn't it? We just keep growing. We're commanded to keep growing. We're commanded to be in the Word and feed on it because that's our food. But every Christian should be able to look back and say, you know, I've grown since 5 years ago. I've grown since 10 years ago. We're told to just keep growing. And if you're 100% like Jesus, then you can stop growing. But if you're not 100% like Jesus, then there's still some more growth to take place. Amen? This is how the Christian life works. It's by little and little. We grow little by little. Like that song that we sang in Sunday school this morning. Now, on a practical level, what God was saying was, if I give it to you all at once, then it'll become overgrown with weeds and wild animals. That's why I'm going to give it to you a little bit at a time. If God gave us the whole Christian life at once, where would we be? We need trials to grow us. Well, trials take time, don't they? We need adversaries like they had. We got to fight. And as we fight, you know what happens? We grow. So just like they had to get the land little by little, we're going to get the victorious Christian life little by little or by little and little. And that's how the Christian life works. 2 Peter 3:18, we'll look there quickly. But this is a command for Christians that we grow. And we may stop growing physically when we become adults, but as Christians, we never, should never stop growing. Doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You talk to someone that's been saved 50 years. Say, are you done? Are you finished? Are you there yet? You know what they're going to say? I got a long way to go. That's always true, isn't it? We just have a long way to go. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. 1 Peter 2:2, but as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may. Anybody know the next word? Grow thereby. And then the passage we looked at this morning. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Let's look there quickly if we could. It's beautiful process that takes place in our Christian life. Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. So, if you're already walking worthy and already fruitful, how can you increase? Because you're not there yet. None of us are there yet. There's still sin needs to be dealt with in our lives. There's still maturity that needs to take place in our Christian lives, and that will be true until Jesus takes us home, either through death or the rapture. We've just got to keep growing. It's going to happen by little and little. Little at a time, little at a time, little at a time. That's how we grow. It's how we grow physically, isn't it? Little by little. And that's how we grow spiritually. So remember, the promised land was already theirs. It's already promised to them. God said, I've allocated it, it's yours. Here's the borders. He even gave them specific borders. It's yours. And what happened when they got to the Jordan River and sent in the spies came back? Did they say, yeah, let's go get that. God's already given it. It's already ours. Let's go. Well, Caleb said that. But the other spies said, can't do it. Can't handle it. Giants, there's walls. Just can't do it. We're going to get there when we get the numbers. But that's a picture of what happens to a lot of Christians. I just can't do it. I can't have a victorious Christian life. I'm not willing to do what it takes to fight those battles, to fight the giants that God's going to bring into my life. I'd rather just, stay on this side of the Jordan River. But if you're willing to cross that river, pardon me, and it's your desire to have the life God wants you to have, which, by the way, it's already yours. He's already promised it to you. But if you're willing to go in and take it, just three things: obedience, separation, and service. If you'll do your best to obey God's word, be separate from the world, and be willing to serve the Lord with your time, your energy, your gifts, your strengths, little and by little and little, God will grow you and make you more like Jesus. And when the trumpet blows or when he calls you home, you will look back and you will have no regrets, I guarantee. If you did your best to keep fighting for city by city, amen, which for us it's not cities, but it's just different areas of growth in our Christian life. If you just kept fighting, you won't look back and say, I wish I would have stopped. I wish I would have just quit fighting and just sat in my easy chair and watched TV. You're not going to say that at their judgment seat, are you? But you might have regrets if that's what you chose to do and chose to stay on this side of Jordan and say, it's too hard to go over there and fight those battles and there's giants and I'd rather just stay on this side. Well, some Christians say, honestly, I'd rather just go back to Egypt, which some of the Jews did. They tried anyway. They said, this is just too much. We're going to get raised as a new captain. We're going to go back to Egypt. And a lot of them died for that decision. And we know what Egypt pictures, the world. So by little and little, God wants us to take the land. And you know what Joshua said? After they had taken part of the land, he said, there's so much more to possess. Toward the end of his ministry, he says, we're not done yet, guys. There's so much more to be done. This was not long before he died. And what did Israel do? We're tired of fighting. Let's just start making treaties with them. And let's make them our servants. Let's become friends. Well, we see how that ended up, don't we? So by little and little, God wants you to take that abundant life that Jesus has already promised you. So cross the Jordan River and start fighting. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for this beautiful picture tonight. And I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to strive for obedience. Lord, we would strive to be separate. And Lord, we would serve you with our lives. We might take by little and little, those cities that you've promised us, those victories that you've already given us, if we would just go take them. Help us to do it with you by our side. And we know the result will be growth. And we thank you. We love you and pray this in Christ.